This is the Pet Podcast on pets.ca, episode number 44, scooting issues and impacted anal glands and anal gland problems in dogs. Hey there, pet lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 44th Pet Podcast on pets.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, it's going to be another podcast with Dr. Lee, and we're going to talk about scooting and anal sac problems, all those delightful things that many dogs go through during their lifetime. As always, Dr. Lee is going to try and demystify the whole situation, say why these things are happening, and even give his technique for expressing anal glands if you are a gambler. But before we start, I'd like to thank people for their past comments on our last podcast, which had to do with greeting strange dogs that we did with Doug Simpson of Tenderfoot Training. A lot of people send me emails saying they liked it and always appreciate it. As always, you can get this blog automatically by subscribing to it, www.pets.ca/blog. There's a couple of buttons right on that page. All you have to do is subscribe in iTunes or subscribe in Google Reader, and you can get these automatically every time we put them out. You can check out the podcasting forum on pets.ca. Just make your way there. And of course, you can always just send emails, pets.ca@gmail.com, if you want to make any comments, suggestions, criticism. We're open to it all, so please don't be shy. So today's topic is scooting and anal sac problems in dogs, and let's get right into it now. Okay, everyone, I'd like to welcome back Dr. Lee to our podcast. It's been a few weeks, but Dr. Lee is gracious enough to come back as always. And today we are going to talk about scooting and anal sac problems. Not the most pleasant thing to talk about, but an important topic. But first off, welcome back, Dr. Lee.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
It's always a pleasure to get you to give us some of your good information. So first off, Dr. Lee, how common do cats and dogs have these problems? And cats more than dogs? Dogs more than cats?
Definitely dogs more than cats. We do see it in cats, but not nearly as often. Small dogs seem to have more problems than larger dogs, but any dog or cat can have this issue.
How does this issue typically present? What's the most frequent thing you see of a pet owner that brings their pet in for this condition?
The most common thing is we see the dog scooting, where they're dragging their little butt across the carpet, or they're just licking in their back end quite excessively. Those are the kind of the two main things that we see. With the scent glands, or these anal glands, what happens is that normally they are expressed on their own. Sometimes they can be expressed out of fear or as a way of marking territory, and they're typically expressed as the dog or cat defecates. As dog passes stool, these glands release the scent onto the stool as a way of marking territory. When this gland material should be kind of a dark yellow fluid, and it always smells just, gosh, awful. A lot of people will say that it smells like bad fish. It has kind of a fishy smell to it. The oil, it should be this dark oil that comes out. With some of these dogs, if they're not expressing it on a regular basis, the oil starts to congeal, and it becomes kind of more of a brown, almost like Play-Doh, probably the best way to describe it. Probably the worst Play-Doh anyone's ever seen, but it kind of has a Play-Doh-y effect. When it gets into what's called this inspissated or Play-Doh situation, the normal ways of expressing it, dog or cat cannot express it. It can't push out. It can push out oil, but it can't push out this thicker material. And so then it builds up. As it builds up, it starts to become itchy because they sit right next to the anus, and the dogs will try to look at it or scoot to try to express it on their own. Glands are located at like 4 and 8 o'clock, and so when they drag their bottoms across the floor, they're not going in the right direction to be able to do that.
And is it more that it's itchy, or is it more that there's pain, or is it both?
It's probably very uncomfortable, but what does become painful is a lot of times as these scent glands are abnormal, they become inflamed, that can lead to some pain. But then if they get infected and we get anal sac abscesses, those are extremely painful.
how do anal sac abscesses differ from the general term that we hear, impacted anal glands?
Impacted just means that these glands, they're full and they can't be expressed on their own. With an infection, what happens is the ducts to the glands, they exit right at the anus. So bacteria just follow that tract right on back down and start to take hold and create an infection. And that becomes very painful. A lot of times it will end up, the bacteria will actually eat through the skin and you'll start to see pus dripping out right next to the anus.
And do you see this frequently?
Fairly frequently, more than we would like to see.
Okay. And then what do you do when you see this?
With the impacted glands, when they're just full, what they need to do is they need to have these glands expressed.
Right.
And there's some dogs, sometimes it will happen in puppies and kittens, and you can express it one time and you're done. They don't ever really seem to have problems again. But for the majority of, like, the adult dogs that we're seeing, it's an issue that's a recurring problem. And so typically they're getting expressed anywhere from once a month to every couple months. And just by expressing it, we can get rid of all that Play-Doh-like inspissated junk out of there, and it can keep them comfortable and without infection. If they actually have infection, sometimes they need surgery, sometimes just antibiotics. Oftentimes what will happen is we will anesthetize the patient and have to manually flush all that junk out and irrigate the gland and then put them on antibiotics and pain medication afterwards.
We're curious here, actually. But the dogs are able to move their bowels day to day. So is a portion of that not getting expressed, or are they not being able to move their bowels at all? What's exactly going on that they're still able to move their bowels for 2 to 3 months, but then they need to be expressed by a vet?
That's a good question. The glands, actually, because they live on the just next to the anus, they don't have anything directly to do with the gastrointestinal system. So they're typically able to pass stool without much of a problem. If they have anal sac abscesses, we usually feel that it's a bit painful when they pass stool, but they're definitely able to do so. There's no obstruction. When the glands are just impacted, it's probably a little bit uncomfortable for them to pass stool, but there should be no obstruction. If we're seeing diseases of the anal sacs where we're having difficulty pass stool, that becomes a much more serious concern, because there are a number of dogs that can get a cancer or tumor of the anal sac. Typically, it's an adenocarcinoma, which is a very serious condition. And if we have a tumor that's growing at the anal sac, that can obstruct the anus.
So thanks for clearing that up. To backtrack 2 more seconds, are there breeds of dog that this happens to more frequently, or is it just individual dogs that are likely to have this particular condition?
It is definitely breed specific. A lot of the smaller dogs we will see it with. Yorkies, Dachshunds, Maltese, some of the medium breeds will see it in Beagles, Pugs. Some of the larger dogs will see it with Bassets. But again, I've seen it with probably every dog and every cat of the various breeds.
Just some, like the smaller breeds, do show a predisposition to it for some reason. Do we know what the reason is?
Don't really know what the reason is, but definitely the smaller ones can have this problem more. And there are some theories about what can make things worse. There is a thought that because the gland gets expressed every time that the pet passes a bowel movement, there is some thought that low fiber may have an impact with making this problem worse.
Right.
That the increased fiber creates larger, more firm stools that allow the expression of the anal glands to be done a little bit more easily. So sometimes there may be some kind of link to the type of foods that are fed to small dogs versus large dogs, but there's nothing really been concrete about it.
Good to know. Again, to backtrack, a couple of minutes, you were talking about, some dogs need to have this expression done every few months. So a lot of people want to know, you mentioned the smell is pretty bad, but let's say you're a pet owner and you're a gambler. Is this something that you recommend
pet owners do themselves if they can deal with the smell. Do you often get asked this? Have you shown pet owners how to do this? What's your take on home anal sac expression?
I do get a lot of people asking me how to do it on their own. So it's not an unusual request. I don't think that there's any problem with people doing it at home. It's a fairly straightforward procedure and something to do. I don't recommend it being done on every dog, though.
Okay.
I really think that dogs that are having problems with the with impaction, they should be having it done, because if we don't, we're going to risk abscesses. Best way, and a lot of people will ask, well, how often should I be expressing the glands? And again, with dogs that are having problems, what I recommend is when a dog is having an issue with the impaction and they're doing the scooting, we express it, mark it on the calendar. When you start to see them scoot, then you want to go probably a week or two before that. So if it takes them, say, 6 weeks, and then they start scooting again, then we probably should be expressing them on a monthly basis. Remember that these glands are not something that are meant to be, you know, touched and manipulated with all the time. So if we are expressing them too much, that can cause inflammation. If we have inflammation, that can cause scarring, and that can lead to more problems with the impaction.
How does a pet owner make the determination if they should do it or a vet should do it?
Usually once we describe on how it's done, I will have people that will say, absolutely no way, or people that will be game for it. So what you need is you need gloves, some type of lubrication, and paper towels. Again, the glands, you're looking at the anus, they're located at 4 and 8 o'clock. And they're going to be right along the body wall, and they're going to feel kind of like grapes. When you take the glove, put some lubrication on your index finger, and you do not need to go very far. The moment that your finger passes through the anus, you need to feel at the 4 and 8 o'clock sites. And they should, again, try to explain this, but when you have your finger inside the anus of the dog, it should just feel like a wall of tissue. And on that wall closest to you, at 4 and 8, you'll feel, again, these little grapes. As you're going to gently massage them, you will get this either dark brown Play-Doh-like, or if they're more of a healthy gland, you'll get more of kind of a dark oil. The thing to remember is most people that are right-handed, they're going to be on the left side of the dog.
Yeah.
That gland that is at 2 o'clock is aimed directly for your face. It is very, very important that you put that towel with your left hand over the area by the tail, because I've seen so many people get hit in the face with this. It is a memorable and horrible experience.
Crucial tip. I suspect there's a high drop-off rate in Dr. Lee in this kind of procedure. People, hearing how it's described, even now, I suspect a lot more people are dropping off as we speak.
Most of the clients do just end up having groomers or people do it. Now, that does bring up one comment. The groomers, most groomers will do what's called external method. And that does bring back, there are two methods to do it. The best is the one that I have described, because you will get near complete emptying of that gland. With groomers, what people do is they will take the paper towels and just put a paper towel over the anus, and they will just massage, again, 4 and 8 o'clock, and they'll just massage towards the direction of the anus. And when they get kind of that smelly, yucky oil out, they know that they've done it. But that will not get complete release of those glands, which means that's going to need to be done on a little bit more frequent basis. And if it's kind of the Play-Doh-like gland, you may or may not get anything out.
Okay, I think that's also good to know, that second method. I want to just go back again for the safety of the dog. After you speak, I just want to always clarify stuff for our listeners. But sometimes
you said before that we shouldn't be doing this ourselves, depending on the case. Can you spot visually by looking at the anus when the vet should manipulate the anal glands, or if you're a gambler, you want to do it yourself? Sometimes even the gambler, if it's in a certain condition, I would guess they shouldn't do it and the vet should do it. What are the signs? Is there any redness, or is there anything they could look at to gauge when they shouldn't attempt this, even if they're a gambler?
If when they try to express the glands, if there's any type of pain, they should immediately stop and take the pet to the office.
Okay.
That would be the main thing that I would look for. If we do have an actual abscess, if you see swelling, pus, if that area is painful, or if there's been actual rupture of the skin and pus, that needs to be done really with a veterinarian. And typically those will be done under anesthesia because it's an extremely painful situation for the pet.
Well, good to know. And I would just suggest that if you've never done it yourself, don't try and do it from a podcast. Watch a vet do it once, then listen to the podcast again to refresh. But maybe it's best to get an actual live demonstration the first time around. I would think that would be prudent. Would you agree?
I think that's a great idea. Great idea, and most vets or their technicians will be happy to show you.
Cool, that's what I thought, and it's nice to hear. I just wanted to get ahead maybe now, like a few steps. What are some signs that the conditions, trouble scooting and stuff like that, that it's not impacted anal glands? You talked a little bit about tumors a few minutes ago. Are there any other types of diseases and or problems that come up frequently that can be mistaken as anal sac problems or scooting problems?
Yes, some type of intestinal parasites, such as tapeworms. Those can cause itchiness of the bottom. Or if they're having diarrhea, a lot of times the inflammation that they get of the colon, of the rectum, that will cause some itchiness as well.
Okay, so again, you know, especially if this is not something that's common for your dog, if it does happen out of the blue, it might not be simple scooting problems because of the anal glands. It could be parasites. I'm betting that's a big one too. Do you see that frequently?
Yes, a lot of it depends on whether or not you have tapeworms in the area. There's a lot of intestinal parasites that do not cause it, which is kind of important. I have had some clients think that their pets don't have parasites because there's been no scooting. And it's not a hallmark for many parasites, but it's pretty common with tapeworms. Tapeworms are usually going to be more associated with areas that have fleas because you actually get the tapeworms from ingesting fleas. So places that have high areas of fleas, may have more tapeworm issues.
Very good to know. So thanks so much for all that good information, Dr. Lee. I mean, a lot of people, I think, know and have heard about anal glands and expressing anal glands and scooting, but sometimes when they listen to everything in a little more detail and understanding the seriousness of it all, it really gives good extra information. So thanks, as always, for providing it, Dr. Lee.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Excellent. So have a good rest of the day, and we'll be back doing another podcast with you shortly.
Can't wait.
Thanks, Dr. Lee. I'd like to thank Dr. Lee, as always, for so graciously sharing his knowledge and experience and trying to enlighten our visitors. So thanks, as always, Dr. Lee. If you are looking for a vet and you are in the Arizona area, Dr. Lee practices in Mesa and Phoenix, Arizona, and he comes highly recommended. And his website is currently aachospitals.com. That's going to do it for me for today. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll be back in a little while again. I know the frequency with which these podcasts are being published are kind of erratic lately, but we haven't given up on them, and we're still continuing to put them out. So please keep subscribing, and don't take it off your list, because more podcasts with varied topics are still coming. So please stay tuned. Thanks again for listening, and as always, give your pets a big fat hug. Hug them tenderly. Give them kisses on the cheeks all over. And once you're all done, give them an extra little scratchy under the chin from Marco. Bye for now, everyone.